Proverbs 15, beginning at verse 11. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man? A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. And then chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And then chapter 22 and verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. Amen.
I wonder, have you ever heard of Lewis Washkansky, Christian Barnard, and Denise Darvill? The three of them made history in 1967, although Denise Darvill wasn't really aware of it. In 1967, Christian Barnard took the heart of Denise Darvill and transplanted it into the body of Lewis Washkansky. It was the very first time that that had been done, and the person to whom it had been done woke up. And when Lewis awoke from surgery, his first words were, "I'm still alive." Because when he went under anaesthetic, there wasn't really any great certainty that he would be. But with Denise Darvill's heart beating away in his body, he said, "I'm still alive." It was the first time that someone had awoken after having a new heart transplanted. We all know how important it is to have a good heart. A good heart is really important to life. And with a bad heart, life will be difficult and ultimately deadly. It's important to have a good heart. Tonight is week 2 of our short series in the book of Proverbs, where we're looking at bodybuilding. That's the title of our series, bodybuilding. Proverbs 3 verse 7 and 8 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, or health to your body, and refreshment to your bones." And so we're going to be looking at bringing health to the body as we look at the wisdom contained in this book of Proverbs. The overall aim of the series is to use different proverbs about different parts of the body to help us and to teach us to shun evil and fear the Lord, examining how wisdom itself is worked out in everyday covenant life in practical ways. And of course, you know that we need to approach the book of Proverbs for the literature that it is. It's not narrative history. It's not poetry as such. It's wisdom. It's pithy sayings that give insight into how to live the good life. So take on plenty protein as we approach this series over these weeks and engage in 9 weeks of bodybuilding. And I can guarantee you that if you stay with the program, you'll see the difference in just 9 weeks. Last week, Peter helped us to understand that what we have here in the book of Proverbs is teaching on how to live God's way in God's world. And tonight, we're looking at the heart. We'll look at what a healthy heart looks like. We'll look at what a diseased heart looks like. We'll consider how hearts are assessed. And then we'll ponder if there's any hope for hearts. And if so, where that hope is found. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Adewale quoted it earlier. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. So the heart is very important, not only in physical terms, we know that, we understand that, but all the more so in spiritual terms. And so the first question that we need to consider is, what is the heart? When we speak of the heart in Proverbs, of what are we speaking? What are we talking about? In answer to the question posed in Psalm 24, verse 3, perhaps you remember that question, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? In answer to that question comes the answer in Psalm 24, verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. This is a great promise that the one who has a pure heart and clean hands will ascend the hill of the Lord. And so the condition of our hearts is crucial for assessing our relationship with the Lord God of the cosmos. And the heart is a major theme in Scripture, with over 800 references across the 66 books. And very often when the heart is referred to, it refers to the person's entire mental and moral activity. The inner person, the mind, the will, the understanding, the bit of you that is you, the bit of you that makes you, you. That's what the heart is. It involves the emotion, what we feel. It involves our volition, that is what we will. It involves our intellect, what we think. It involves our conscience, that is what we know as right and wrong. So the concept of the heart is huge and all-encompassing and incredibly important. Our hearts are incredibly important, and we need to give much care and attention to them. In spiritual terms, good heart health is essential. The book of Proverbs has many vital things to teach us about conditioning our hearts and guarding them. Proverbs 2, verse 4 says that we should search for wisdom like we would hidden treasure. And therefore, tonight, we're going to be looking at lots of different bits of Proverbs. So really, it would be really ideal for you to have your Bible open there, starting at Proverbs 15, because you're going to be going like that all night. Or if you're fast with your fingers on the phone or the iPad or whatever. But having it in front of you is going to be much more helpful than not. So we're going to look at lots of different bits of Proverbs so that we might gain the wisdom that it has to teach us about our hearts, about our true selves, who we really are. So our next question, what is the problem with hearts? What's the problem with hearts? If we take a look at a wide range of Proverbs that speak of the heart, we will find that the book of Proverbs contains wisdom on at least four different problems of the heart. We find in Proverbs that they can be deceptive hearts, hearts can be foolish, hearts can be pride-filled, and hearts can be crooked. And the Lord God hates all these things. They are an abomination to him. So let's have a look at some of these Proverbs to discern the problem of the heart. Hearts can be deceptive. They can be deceptive. Proverbs 12, verse 20 to 23 says this, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, and those who act faithfully are his delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. The heart, the who we really are, our inner being, the heart can be deceptive and slippery. It can be bent to plan and devise all manner of evil, all manner of deception. Deception is when we are interested in being misleading. Deception is when we are creating an illusion of one thing being the case when actually something else is the case. Actually, the reality is very different. Derek Kidner points out that what we pursue for others and the way we pursue it leaves a mark on our cast of mind. Those who plan peace have joy, but those who plan deceit, those who plan evil, are filled with no end of trouble, says the writer of Proverbs. So the problem of the heart, the who we are, our inner being, is that it can be deceptive. It can love to cast images that aren't quite the true reality. The problem of the heart is that it can be foolish. The heart can be foolish. Did you see that in the passage? Verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of the fool proclaims folly. A wise heart knows when to speak and when to be silent, but a foolish heart pours out its folly. The problem with the heart is that it can be deceitful, it can be foolish. Hearts can be pride-filled. Will we remind ourselves that pride is a sin? Our hearts can be proudful. Chapter 16 and verse 5. Chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. A couple more chapters. Chapter 18, verse 12. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honour. These hearts of ours, our inner being, ourselves, we are prone to arrogance. We are prone to pride. Pride is when we are filled with a sense of our own importance, a sense of our own elevated status above everyone else. Pride is when we put ourselves at the centre of everything. Pride is when we think we know best and no one can tell us anything. When we think we are better than others. When we think that we've got something to celebrate in us. God hates pride. It's an abomination to him. And the proverb reminds us that everyone who's caught in pride will not go unpunished. The heart, our inner selves, the true us, can be deceitful, can be foolish, can be prideful. Next, notice the heart can be crooked. The heart can be crooked or perverse. Chapter 11, back to chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. Our hearts can be crooked. They can wander off the straight and narrow. They can become perverse. Our hearts, ourselves, our inner beings can become so crooked that they want things to be different from how they were designed by God to be. Steadfastness in righteousness leads to life, but the pursuit of evil leads to death. Crooked hearts, crooked, perverse hearts are an abomination to the Lord. He hates crooked hearts. Now, I don't know, have you noticed that there's a common theme to these various heart defects? Have we begun to discern what this common theme of these heart defects is? The problem of the heart is that they can be deceitful, foolish, prideful, crooked or perverse. The problem of the heart is that it's all about me, me, me. The problem of ourselves is that it's all about us. It's directed towards us. It's inclined towards us. It's obsessed about us. The heart is deceitful so that I get what I want. The heart is foolish because it puts me at the centre of reality. The heart is prideful because I want the world to revolve around me, because after all, aren't I worth it? The heart is crooked or perverse because I want to do what I want to do and I don't want to be told by anyone that I can't do it. Don't tell me the world's designed to work in a certain way. Don't tell me that we're designed to work in a certain way. I'll do it my way. The most popular song at funerals. I'll do it my way. As we look at our own hearts, we can discern this about ourselves, can't we? I guess it moves at different degrees, but there's something about us that makes us think the world revolves around us. That we want what we want and no one's going to stop us getting it. Can we see these tendencies in our own lives, in our own hearts, in our own ways? Can we look at our own lives and detect that pool of deceptiveness? Not wanting to let anybody actually get to know you. Let them get to know the image, but not the true you. Have we detected that pridefulness? Have we detected that crookedness? We know how it should be, but we won't have that. We'll go our own way. Do you want me to give you a little diagnostic for the condition of our hearts? See, when you see a photograph that you're in, what do you do right away? You got to look at yourself, don't you? Apparently everybody's the same. We are self-obsessed. The problem of the heart is that it's all about me. But the nature of reality is not like that. And eventually we sense this. We sense that the nature of reality is not like this. And that builds within our hearts a rage against the one true God. And Proverbs 19 verse 3 says, when a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. His heart rages against the Lord. God says he detests hearts that are filled up with self. He hates hearts that are all about me, me, me. He hates it when we are full of ourselves, but we are full of ourselves. And so we end up raging against God. We'll do it our way. We won't be controlled by any God. We won't have him tell us how we should live. He hates it when we're so full of ourselves. And when the Lord Jesus Christ entered humanity, he didn't come full of himself. Rather, Paul writes to the Philippians that he made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The heart is a person's entire mental and moral activity, the inner person, mind, will, understanding. It involves the emotion, what we feel. It involves our volition, what we will. It involves our intellect, what we think. And it involves our conscience, what we discern is right. And the problem with the heart is that it's full of self, full of me. It's deceitful, foolish, prideful, crooked, and perverse. And it rages. It rages against the Lord. It's a big problem, isn't it? And so our third question. Is that our third question? There we go. What does a wise heart look like? What does a wise heart look like? Well, alongside diagnosing the problem of the heart, the book of Proverbs also paints a lovely, clear picture of what a wise heart looks like. It describes for us the characteristics of a wise heart. And we see firstly that a wise heart is teachable. A wise heart is teachable. Proverbs 10 verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Wisdom of heart means that you are teachable, doesn't it? It means that you accept education, guidance from others. You learn from others. You do not have a I know best, you can't tell me anything attitude. The wise heart receives instruction. The wise heart values instruction. The wise heart embraces instruction. The wise heart responds to instruction. If you're the kind of person of whom people say, oh, you can't tell him anything, he just does his own thing, then you're not of a wise heart. The one who's wise of heart is teachable, receives commandments, takes instruction, learns from others. The opposite is to be the babbling fool who comes to ruin. A wise heart seeks knowledge, Proverbs 15 and verse 14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on folly. Those who have a wise heart seek understanding, seek knowledge, seek perception, seek truth. Those who have a wise heart seek reality. They seek to know things as they truly are, as opposed to the fool who feeds on folly. And there's quite a contrast here with the problems of the heart, filled with self, viewing the world through a self-obsessed lens. The wise of heart seeks knowledge and truth, seeks to know things as they really are, seeks to conform themselves to the nature of reality. So one seeks to bend reality to their selfish will, the other seeks to understand reality as it is objectively. The wise heart is thoughtful and judicious, Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The wise heart is reflective. The wise heart weighs things, considers, ponders, and then speaks. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. I suppose the key thing to note here is that the wise heart is under control. The wise heart is under control, as opposed to the wicked, it's spewing out content like a burst pipe. The wise heart is under control, measured, judicious, and considers before speaking. The wise heart loves purity. The wise heart loves purity. Have a look at Proverbs 22 and 11, where we find a fascinating reality. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as a friend. The wise heart is concerned with purity and grace. The wise heart avoids defilement because the wise heart understands what Jesus meant when he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Mark chapter 7. The pure heart perceives this reality and pursues a purity of heart. Flees from these very things that the Lord Jesus says comes out of the hearts of men and women to defile them. Notice also from the proverb that the pure heart issues forth in gracious speech. There is a fundamental grace that comes with a pure heart, with a wise heart. And wonderfully, the one who loves purity of heart and graciousness of speech will find that they have the king as a friend, because the king loves purity of heart and graciousness of speech. And so we have a huge contrast here between the problem of hearts on the one hand and the wise heart on the other hand. The problem of hearts with their deceitfulness and foolishness and pridefulness and crooked and perverse ways on the one hand, and the wise hearts with their teachable spirit, seeking after knowledge, thoughtfulness and judiciousness, their love of purity and grace. Which of these two most closely characterizes our hearts? Are we the problem hearts or the wise hearts? And that brings us to our next question. How are hearts weighed? How are hearts weighed, or how are hearts assessed? If you went along to the cardiologist, then they might well do an ECG to make an assessment of your heart. If they were doing further investigations, they might stick you on a treadmill while you had all these wee monitors on you and say run, so that they could have a look at what your heart's like under pressure. They might use some scans to make some assessments. But how does the divine heart surgeon make an assessment of our hearts? Proverbs 15 and verse 11 says this. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man? Or as the New International Version puts it, death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man? Everything is open before the Lord. We sung about that this morning, didn't we, as we sang that wonderful Psalm 139, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Everything is open before the Lord. The reality is that you can't see my heart and I can't really see yours either. But the Lord sees. Everything is open before him. He sees and he knows. But there's more than him seeing and knowing, as Proverbs 21 verse 2 points out. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. He sees, he knows, he weighs, and he makes an assessment of the hearts of men and women. Now, the difficulty with us men and women is that our ways seem right to us with our own eyes. We look at ourselves and we often tend to compare ourselves with others and give ourselves a pass mark. We look at ourselves and we fail to perceive the wickedness of our hearts. We fail to truly understand the real state of our hearts before God. We can't grasp just how faulty we are. Our ways seem right to us, but the Lord weighs the heart. And I think that at least part of the reason that we can't accurately assess our hearts is that most of our hearts are not simply the one thing. If we were only deceitful, evil, crooked, perverse, and prideful, it might be clearer to understand it. If we had an utterly problematic heart, or if we had an utterly wise heart, then that could be easier to understand. But the reality is that most of us have a mix of these things going on. Times of wisdom and times of folly. Most of us have mixed hearts. And because of how we're made, with our selfish ways and our self-focused ways, we always grasp onto the slightest goodness, the slightest wisdom. We grab onto that and tell ourselves, we're okay. Not such a bad person after all. But Proverbs tells us there is always someone monitoring our heart, testing our motives, examining our actions, and his diagnosis is really the only one that matters. And the reality is that we all fail that diagnosis because there is no one righteous, not even one. Prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. That chimes with what we've heard already. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? The Lord weighs the heart, and we are found wanting. We can't be friends with the King because we are not pure of heart and we are not gracious. Now, on one level, if we leave it there, then that is very depressing. The Lord weighs our hearts and we are found wanting. But there is hope. There is hope. And that brings us to our final question. Is there any hope for hearts? And the answer is, oh yes, there is hope for hearts. But we need to come to the point of realizing that we need the very same thing that Lewis Washkansky needed. We need to come to the point of realizing that we need a new heart, a heart transplant. That some pills for the doctor won't do it. There's no reforming it. There's no rescuing it. It's totally done, this heart of ours. We need a heart transplant. The old one simply will not do. It is corrupted. It is wicked. It is filled with problem after problem. And by our own strength, it can never be pure. It can never be gracious. It can never be truly wise. But there is hope. Because the Bible teaches that a heart transplant is exactly what God has in mind for his people. That a heart transplant is exactly what God wants for his wayward people. Turn with me, will you, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. This is a really important passage of scripture. Ezekiel 36, 22 to 29. It says there, therefore say to the house of Israel, God is speaking, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And here it is, verse 26. And I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant, and lay no famine upon you. This is deep in the Old Testament. Deep in a part of the Old Testament that many believers never reach, the book of Ezekiel. And there, deep in the Old Testament, this word from God comes. God promises a new heart and a new spirit. He promises to remove the heart of stone with all of its problems, with all of its uncleannesses, with its deceitfulness, with its pridefulness, with its crooked ways. He promises to remove it and to give us a heart of flesh. And how did he do that? How was that accomplished? He did that through sending his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, bearing our sin, bearing our shame, bearing our uncleannesses, taking all that pridefulness, that deceitfulness, that crookedness and perversity. He took it upon himself, and he died on that cross, bearing our sin and shame, that we might go free. Jesus died to give us a new heart, a heart transplant. And so, as we explore the issue of the heart in Proverbs, this is not a call to self-improvement. This is not a call to try harder, to work at it, because our natural hearts are corrupt and broken and deadly, and they need to be replaced. And that is what Jesus does when we come to him. When we come to him confessing our sins, when we come to him calling upon him for salvation, he comes into our lives. He gives us a new heart. He comes into our lives and gives us a new heart that by the power of his Spirit can progressively be a wise heart. And then the reality of Proverbs 22 verse 11 comes to bear in our lives. Remember what 22 verse 11 says? I can't remember if I've got it on the screen. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. It says this: he who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, he, she, will have the King as a friend. With our new hearts, with our transplanted hearts, fleshy hearts, spirit-filled hearts, with these regenerated hearts, we will have King Jesus as a friend. And so this evening, as we finish and move towards communion and gathering around the Lord's table, as we finish, the question to ask is, what condition is my heart in? Have I experienced this divine heart transplant that Jesus gives to his own dear people? Without it, we can never be a friend of King Jesus.